without warning, something falls down at your feet.
Another ooze?
It tinks, and let's see, who's closest? Artie, I'm going to need you to make a constitution save, please.
Oh, that fucking goblin has another flashbang, doesn't it?
That's a 20.
A 20, okay. So you take half damage. Half damage of that is a 9 damage to you, Artie, and you are all surprised.
I'm surprised my seduction didn't work.
How often does the ooze get hit on, really?
Who knows? So, a quick refresher for players and audience alike. During this two-turn system, the PCs and then the NPCs take turns as groups. All creatures can move and act freely between each other. They can use this to easily synergize abilities and spells and give each other flanking bonuses and things like that. Now, because the goblin got the drop on you, functionally giving you all the surprise condition, the combat is going to start with the bounty hunter's turn, and then it will move on as per normal with the players.
Okay, so our alley is, as one might imagine, fairly close quarters. We've got, like,
I was saying, is the goblin about where I'm currently pinging?
You cannot see the goblin.
Okay,
so he's somewhere on the roof.
Is the goblin a bard?
So the players are currently standing in an alley. It is about 50 feet long. It's an L shape. It's about 50 feet one way and 40 feet another way. The alley leads into a dead end where there is the menacing gif. Behind them, blocking off the way out, is a huge plasmoid. It's enormous. And then they followed a goblin up here who was bristling with grenades, but he clambered up onto a roof and you can't see him anymore.
Oh, so this is one little fuck-up group of three versus our fuck-up group of three.
It starts out with this huge fucking plasmoid.
So this is like a big ooze.
It's a big ooze, and inside it you can see a core, and that core is kind of sparkling with energy of some description. It's like zapping around it. So the ooze moves right up to you, Juliana. It moves south and approaches you.
Gross.
And it's still blocking off the exit. This thing's enormous. And when you saw it before, you saw that it had a grin. This grin was the size of a humanoid grin, just in the middle of this thing with, like, photorealistic teeth and tongue and lips and
gross.
Even, like, a little divot.
Don't care for that.
Don't like it.
It's a little bit fucked.
That's Magnus and Archives Apple.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. The Apple. Yep.
So this grin with a little pocket of air behind it, which it seems to be using as lungs to talk with, it starts to grow and spread across its face, not stretching out the corners like a Cheshire grin, more just physically expanding until it's about the size of a rowboat, this smile.
Oh my god, can it just attack me? This is gross.
And then it opens its mouth and it bites down.
Thank you.
So its first attack is a 9.
That is not going to hit.
Its second attack is a 19.
Still not going to do it.
Okay.
Anna? I want to say that I appreciate that it's just called Big Fucking Plasmoid on the dice roller.
It is.
It is, yes.
Great, so it just does a couple of really creepy bites that do nothing to me.
Yeah, I think the first one, you dodge out of the way completely. The second one, like, it clamps a bit of your armor and clangs off it.
Oh, I bet it makes oh no, you know what? You know the sound of, like, somebody biting down and scraping off of a fork. I think it makes that noise and I hate it. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
One of the worst sounds.
Awful.
So next up in this turn order, you see someone kind of peering out over the edge of the roof. You cannot see them very clearly, but down from the ceiling comes a little grenade and it explodes on, let's roll 1d3. Let's see who it actually hits. It hits Artie. So, Artie, I need you to make a constitution save.
That's a 16.
Ooh, a 16. You pass. So, as it explodes, you take half of 17 sonic damage. And then you have the gif. So, this gif stands 7 feet tall. She's wearing simple clothes, a plain shirt with the sleeves rolled up to her elbows, trousers with suspenders, and these hobnailed boots that strike sparks on the stones. When she starts walking forwards towards you, and you can see she has what looks like a crossbow handle sticking out from behind her back, and she reaches behind herself and pulls on it, and you hear a click as the weapon detaches. She hefts it with two hands, and you see it clearly now.
Oh, she's got a shotgun, doesn't she?
It looks like a crossbow, but it's about 3 feet long. There's a handle on top of it, and she wrenches it forward, causing four arms to spring outwards from the body, forming a cross shape, with two lines passing through the center to join them.
Oh, she's got a Bianca.
In the middle, instead of a crossbow quarrel, there is a metal spike the thickness of your forearm at least a foot and a half long.
Oh.
She wrenches the handle back again, and as you watch, the spike is pulled back. This is not a crossbow. This is a stake driver.
Should have been useful versus the vampires.
And she squeezes the grip.
I will even say that aloud.
She squeezes the grip, and there is a thunk, and the stake drives forward with only an 11 to hit.
A miss!
Well.
I casually step aside, and Wynn goes, you know, that would have been amazing versus some vampires we fought a while back.
Well, her second roll is an 18.
That's also a miss.
She gets a little frustrated and tries to bash you with the haft of the weapon for a 25 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, so you take 7 bludgeoning damage and need to make a strength save, please.
14, so I do go prone.
Okay, yeah. You are indeed prone now. Whoops.
But I take damage, apply damage, blam.
Last of all, the unhinged goblin, whose turn isn't really finished until you're all finished, the unhinged goblin twists a mechanism on their belt, and you hear this screaming sound come out of it. It's loud and it's piercing. It's like a high-pitched whistle, but so loud that you feel like if you stay within 30 feet of it at the end of your turn, your ears are going to bleed.
Well, everything's within 30 feet of it, so...
Yep.
Yep.
All right, players, it's your turn. What do you do?
So my speed is 40 feet. Standing up will be 20, but I got my cutting action, so I could still do a dash there.
You sure could.
But my climb speed is the same as my walk speed, so I can get up there without even doing it half.
Yeah, but you'll be leaving you'll be getting an attack of opportunity off a gif if you leave that.
Not if I thwack the gif first.
Oh, you're right.
I could attempt to attack the gif. It doesn't even have to hit. But so long as I do a melee attack, I can then leave and go up behind the goblin and at least be a menace to the goblin.
Okay. I want to do some kind of check just to get, I don't know, like, nature, maybe. I want to figure out what exactly I should be doing about this plasmoid. What's, like, not something that would affect it at all?
Hmm. I'm going to say roll perception or investigation. Your answer will be slightly different depending on which you roll.
Okay. Perception versus investigation, right? Investigation, intelligence. Yeah, I'm just going to have a better roll with perception anyway. My investigation is an intelligence. That's what I was checking.
Before you roll that, doing that kind of discernment will cost an action.
What? Why?
There is an action called, like, investigate or perceive.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's a 21 on perception?
You can see, as you look into this thing, you can see a little crackling bits of lightning zapping around in it, sparks, and they seem to be, every time it moves, the sparks seem to go to that area. So you get the feeling that lightning is something that's deeply infused into this creature.
Okay, so it's a big goo, so none of my, like, melee attacks are gonna be great. Hey, Artie?
Yes?
You got, like, long-range piercing stuff, right?
Yes?
Yeah, you see that, and she's gonna point out the sphere or the center that she saw in the plasmoid.
That little ghoul ball thing?
Yeah, you think you can hit that?
I don't know, maybe. Let's see. And Artie will do an attack with... Let's use the blunderbuss!
Okay.
Okay, then I'll sneak over a little.
I just like the idea of Jill maybe, like, crouching so that Artie can set the blunderbuss on her shoulder.
No, I think she steps like... She just takes a step away.
Yeah, but no, I'm just thinking about that.
Oh, that's the problem. Even if I got down, like, even if I crashed down like that, I still might not give him enough clearance. He's so tiny.
I will launch a... Let's do a surgeon fish.
All right, for splashing damage.
Well, Should I do piking damage or?
Yeah, try to get a piercing if you can.
Yeah. All right, let's go with the swordfish.
Is that going to be at disadvantage because we're really close to it?
No, it is not.
I mean,
okay, cool.
It's a fish. That's an 11.
That is an 11 to hit, and I'm afraid the swordfish like zoops into it and then it just starts to melt from the acid.
Oh, gross.
It you can basically see it getting cooked, except with chemicals instead of heat.
No, that didn't work.
Okay, well, maybe if you actually hit it.
Okay, rude.
Okay, Wynn, do your shit.
So Wynn hops to her feet, is going to, so that gives me 20 feet left, is going to shank the gif, or attempt to shank. We'll see how that goes.
Shank away.
29?
That definitely hits. Roll damage, please.
For 12 damage. And then, that is force.
Wonderful. The windbreaker. Good stuff. Yeah, so it takes 12 force damage.
And then I have 20 feet left on that movement, so she steps 5 and then she runs the 15 feet up.
Very good. And that'll end you up standing on the edge of the roof.
Yeah. And then I still have my bonus action.
Ooh.
So with my bonus action, I could either just move and get behind the goblin so I could try to shove it off next time. Or I could do my bonus
action. Oh, could you kick him into the plasmoid?
That'd be fun.
It's full of acid.
I think that's probably a strength roll is the only problem.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Well, it is quite a small creature.
Unless you could also just, like, trip him, too. Use his own momentum against him.
Well, I'll use my other bonus action. I kind of clap my hands and I say, Artie Jill, feel free to move.
Oh, thank you.
And like little cinder soot clouds kind of fall down. And we'll do my Bardic Glamour, which lets everybody move up to their speed. So that means me included. I get a move over here. And then everybody also gains 8 temp HP.
Thank you. And I move Jill out of the plasmoids, area, and I moved around to behind the gif so we can flank her potentially.
Good stuff.
And then Artie moves to flank the gif.
Dope.
Very good. So does anyone else have any bonus actions or otherwise that they'd like to use?
I mean, technically my only bonus action would be to hit again.
Oh no.
You might as well.
Can you hit as a bonus action?
Well, it's technically just, you know, my action. I can hit.
You can do multiple hits, yeah.
Yeah.
On one target, yes.
On one target?
Yes. You can't split up your hits. So you could have attacked the plasmoid, I think, 3 times.
All right.
Do you still have movement left to get back to it?
Artie didn't use any movement aside from the free movement that Wynn gave us.
Oh, hell yeah. So you can actually go back over, get those last 2 attacks off. I'll let you, like,
but
do that if you like.
I had, like, range.
Well, actually,
he has line of sight.
Oh, that's right. The blunderbuss has the loading property, not the glaive. I'm sorry. That's my mistake. The loading property means you can only fire a weapon once per turn. When you next level up, you'll get the gunner feat, which allows you to ignore that.
Fair. All right. We're good.
I'm going to have Jill use one of her beads from the prayer beads. I'm going to use the bead is misfortune, which lets her cast Bane. Can I know that I can get the gif. I know that I can get the plasmoid from where I'm at. Can I lob one up on the roof to hit the, to get the goblin?
Yeah, you can see its edge. You can see its feet kind of at the edge, which I will say allows you to target it.
Dope. Okay, so Jill like pulls one of the beads off of the prayer beads on her neck, I think, is that one?
Sure thing. I thought it was around her wrist, but I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant wrist. So yeah, she does that.
Okay. Right. So how Bane works with this spell. Actually, Annie, do you want to describe to me the flavor of how you do this one? Because we talked about a few different options.
I know, but I don't remember. What we have is pulling the bead off the necklace and throwing it. But I don't remember anything more specific than that.
Oh, for Bane, you pulled the bead off the necklace, pegged it at the ground near the targets, and it emits acrid smoke like a gas grenade that surrounds them.
Dope. Okay, so yeah, I guess since Bane hits multiple targets, I guess she kind of like crushes the bead into a couple of chunks.
Yeah, sure. And you peg that at each target.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Let's get those saving throws going.
Select yeah, because they have to make... It's been a while since I've cast Bane, so for the audience, they have to make charisma saving throws if they... the DC is 17 for that. If they fail, they basically get... they have to take less on their attack rolls and saving throws.
All right. So the gif passes and waves away the smoke, but the goblin and the plasmoid fail their saves.
Right, so they'll have to subtract a d4 roll from their attack rolls and saves for basically the rest of the fight.
Wonderful. Anything else, folks?
Nope.
No.
I did my action and bonus action, so...
Okay, cool. So, ending this turn, all three of you take 5 sonic damage from the piercing whistle.
Okay.
That's going to my temp HP, baby!
Oh, okay. With the beads, do I still need to keep that as a concentration?
I'm afraid you do.
Okay. Okay, never mind on that. I roll a 4.
You have your inspiration. We all had inspiration.
It's not worth it.
Okay. Sure thing. So, starting with the plasmoid, it shifts up again, up behind Arty, and it makes 2 bite attacks on him.
Hell no!
It opens this enormous mouth. Arda, you have never been so displeased to see an open mouth behind you. It rolls 2 9s, completely
that's
missing.
No.
Fucking useless. And the gif, she turns and actually yells at it and says, "Grin, you are fucking useless."
His name's Grin?
I that's mean, that name. Sure is a smile to remember.
Did it choose the name or did somebody name it? Wynn is actually wondering these things aloud.
And the goblin cackles out, "Nah, what do you think?" And then it pulls back its fist, and on its fist there's this kind of gauntlet mechanism of some kind, and it punches you with the fist that explodes when it touches you with this sound, with a whole 7 to hit.
Wynn just casually dances to the side and says, "I'm asking you, not asking you to tell me to guess like my dad."
Okay, then. And then from its belt, it pulls what looks like a small cannon. It looks actually a little bit like the Gem Jammer, except instead of a barrel, it looks more like a cone, like a really small blunderbuss, but you can see ticking and whirring mechanisms beside it. And, oh dear. I'm going to need you to make a con save, please, Wynn.
Yep.
As this blaster makes this horrifying noise.
I'm going to use my inspiration.
Okay.
I rolled a 4, so I'm using my inspiration for that, everybody.
Okay. Nice.
14.
Oh, you're lucky. Very good, very good. So you do make the save.
Excellent.
And you take... half of 12 sonic damage from this horrifying noise. It's like there's something in it that makes your teeth feel like they're about to fall out. This is a really ear-shattering noise. You thought nails on chalkboard was bad. This is like fork pulled between your teeth.
Yeah.
And then the goblin, who was closer to the roof than you, circles around, so it's more on the roof than you.
Try to knock me off, little turd.
So the gif turns to you, Jill.
Uh-huh.
Pulls back the lever on its pile driver. I call it a pile bunker. I don't remember where the term originated, but it's basically a mechanical stake driver. Wrenches back the thing, the handle, and makes some attacks on you. The first one is 26 damage. Sorry, a 26 to hit.
Ooh, that'll hit.
Good stuff. And since it's holding it with 2 hands, it deals 12 piercing damage.
Okie doke.
Its second attack is a 17 to hit.
That will not hit.
And its third attack is a 12 to hit.
That will not hit.
Okay. In that case, that ends all of their turns. Players, it is your turn.
Well, our actions are probably a bit more limited. Wynn, what are you doing up there? Or do you want us to go first while you think about it?
Feel free to go first. I'm thinking. I was checking to see my new items that we got recently.
Oh, we haven't gone shopping yet.
Not those. The ones we got from our adventure on Tavos.
Right. Okay. Well, Artie is sandwiched between a plasmoid and a gif, but not in a fun way. I've just got the gif on
not
me.
Not this time.
But I think the best thing I can do right now is just violence.
I say we both do violence on the GIF.
I'm into violence on the GIF, yeah. I am gonna give him a smack with my Warhammer.
Just a smack?
All right, you give her a smack.
Thank you. I give her a smack. Oh, I do not give her a smack. I roll a 10.
Well, right. You like to use your inspiration.
You know what? Why the fuck not?
Actually,
yeah.
You have advantage because you're across from Artie,
right?
Oh, shit,
you're right. I forgot to roll advantage. Okay, let's try that one more time. 13? I doubt a 13 does it.
I'm afraid a 13 does not hit. So
yeah.
The GIF seems to dodge out of the way. Surprisingly nimble for its size.
Ah, cut that out!
It like snorts at you, and there is some gross animal spit on you.
Ew, ew! Oh, did you just spit at me?
From its snort, it didn't physically go at you.
It or she?
She. I'm used to saying it for creatures. Excuse me.
That's super gross. What's wrong with you?
So, Artie, are you making all your attacks now?
Yeah. Artie switches out to his glaive.
Okay, so you can drop the blunderbass and then draw the glaive as a free action.
He doubts that anyone else will realize how to use a fish cannon and just starts whacking her.
Okay, whack away.
With advantage. That's a 15.
A 15 does not hit, I'm afraid.
Ugh, this is what it's like to fight me!
That's then a 27.
A 27 does hit.
And a 26.
And a 26 hits, so roll damage twice, please.
15 and 11.
Goddamn, so the GIF takes a total of 26 magical slashing damage.
Jill leans over around the side of the GIF. Thanks, Artie!
I imagine that the first one was a fake out to get her into a better position.
Ooh, nice.
To then strike twice.
Yeah, you gotta feint first and then go for it.
Yeah. And that's my turn.
Next up, Wynn or Jill. Whichever you... I think Jill's already done, aren't you? Or did you not do your bonus action yet?
No, I'm done.
Okay.
I do know I'm gonna move here.
Where?
I move further onto the rooftop. I almost said shelf top. I move further onto the rooftop, so I'm even further from the edge than Goblinoid.
It's steps behind you. Steps behind you. No, steps behind you.
Fuck you! I'm stepping back first! And then after a moment of considering and glancing down towards the plasmoid and then back to the goblin, she just pulls out her other rapier and is just gonna stab twice.
Alright, you stab away.
Stab away, stab away, stab away.
Well, actually, with my first strike, could I do like a drop, kind of like a drop, like you know those cool moves they do during like it's not beatboxing, but people beatbox and then they do the street dancing.
Oh, you mean breakdancing?
Breakdancing, yes, thank you. Like the breakdance move where you kind of go down on your back hands and you kind of do like a spin and kick your legs out to try and trip the goblin backward.
You can flavor the push action to either try to knock it prone or push it 5 feet back.
I'd love to try and push it 5 feet back.
Okay. Make a, I think it's a strength check real quick. Let me double
check. Yeah, I think
check.
It's strength or athletics, which are both bad for me, but... I'd rather do it. It's more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
17?
And now this will be contested by your target. Ah, for 20.
Dang. That's okay. I still have my bonus action. So I did an attack. I can stab with my rapier, I think.
Yeah, okay. So describe what happens.
So Wynn drops down on her hands and does like the kick dance, and the goblin leaps over her legs so she can't trip him, and she just kind of pushes immediately back up to her feet and just shanks with the Windbreaker.
Very good. Make your attack.
23.
With a 23 to hit, that absolutely lands. Roll damage, please.
7.
All right, so the goblin jumps over and then is immediately caught off guard as you come straight up and shank the fuck out of it.
I hear stabbing sounds. Is that you, Wynn?
That's me!
Oh, good.
If it's not loud and well, sometimes it's loud and annoying in me, but the goblin is especially loud and annoying.
Hey, Wynn, can you give me, like, how close to the edge is he?
She kind of peers for a moment. I would guesstimate, like, 2.5 feet.
Okay, so he's closer to us
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I'll keep that in mind.
No problemo. I can look straight down at you, Jill. And so he's like between me and you.
Perfect.
Okay, who's next? Who does bonus actions, etc.?
I'm good.
I have no bonus.
I did my bonus, I did my regular.
Okay, so as your turn ends, you will take 5 sonic damage from the Screaming Whistle.
The Screaming Whistle sounds like a good, like, cafe name.
It's where you have a lot of screaming children running around with their high-pitched whistling screams.
No, it's where you have a lot of tea kettles going.
Yeah, it's train-themed.
Oh, that's way better. I like that better. The GIF turns to you, Artie, and says, oh, none of that now, and smashes out at you with the butt of her weapon with a 16 to hit.
A 16 doesn't hit.
Nice. All right.
She does it again for an 18 to hit.
Oh, that matches.
Okay, so it meets, it beats. So you, my friend, take 17 bludgeoning damage.
I will do a parry.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
Make that parry then.
That's a 2, so a whole 15.
Good stuff. Okay, so you parry largely, but you do need to make a strength save or be knocked prone. Because this is a crushing blow.
Alrighty.
Oh, that's a 15. It just makes it, so you don't get knocked prone by that.
It's a GIF.
Yeah, and the GIF makes one last bash with its haft. So that was a 23 to hit, and you take 9 bludgeoning damage.
How fun.
And you need to make another strength save.
That's a 21.
Nice. 21.
So you are not knocked prone. And now, coming up behind you, the Grin, the huge fucking plasmoid. Oh my god, I could have been rolling all these with advantage. Whoops. You're lucky. Makes its bite attacks on you. The first one is a 12 to hit.
Nope.
The second is a crit.
Oh no.
And now Arturos.
Uh-huh.
Time seems too slow for just a moment. And you realize something. You have drunk from the Well of Infinity, and your perception of reality has been altered forever. You now have the Well Drinker feature.
Ooh!
While you have inspiration, you gain the following ability. When you or anything you can see rolls a d20, you may use your reaction to pull interference from the reality of a parallel universe and force them to roll it again. You may then choose which of the two results to pick. This consumes your inspiration.
Oh, that's cool!
Yeah!
That sounds cool.
So you've seen literally everything there is and was and could be, and can't remember it all, so your finite brain is stuck in a permanent state of déjà vu, but every now and then, in a flash of inspiration, you can reach into this parallel universe and pull out a change. So describe how a version of you caused... a version of you from a parallel universe caused interference. A version of you that sold crossbows, forgot to oil a string. Perhaps a version of you that built your current location, cracked a floor tile. Perhaps you sired them and passed down genes for shaky hands. Perhaps you taught a neat trick to a childhood friend. Get creative and tell me how you negate this crit if you want to. If you want to change
like
reality.
Pulling from all the different jobs that the other versions of her had and everything everywhere, right? Is that the...
Precisely.
Gotcha. Okay.
Shockingly, yeah. I thought of this before I saw that movie. However, nice. It complements it perfectly.
Yeah.
So if you wish, you can burn your inspiration to force a re-roll of that crit.
Yeah, of course we're gonna use the inspiration die. I'm just thinking, what would be fucking...
What
fun.
Would, for like, to avoid a bite?
To
Could
avoid
be something
a bite.
Like, in some other reality.
What if Artie was a dentist in another reality?
Oh!
I doubt that.
Zombie
I am your
dentist!
If I can suggest something, vets are very good at avoiding animal bites. If you're a vet in another life, you've got better reflexes for avoiding them.
You had to avoid so many fucking shark bites, Artie.
Large animal doctor.
Artie used to, like, this alternative version of Artie lived in a land that was very hot and full of dangerous animals. But he mm-hmm. would go around teaching people about the beauty of these animals. And he'd go, crikey.
No.
Artie Owen.
Artie Owen.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, so... the reroll for Grin, you see it looks like the scanning, the tracking lines on a VHS, mm-hmm. For anyone who's old enough to get that reference in our listener base. And you see two versions of reality happen at the same time, but then the one where it misses kind of solidifies and becomes real. The second one doesn't crit, but it is a 19, so that will still hit, but
yeah, it won't crit.
Yeah.
The first one, he chomped off Artie's head, but in the second reality, he just got his shoulder.
Ouch.
Yeah. So in the second one, that's 14 bludgeoning damage.
Alrighty.
So Artie's looking a bit messed up now.
Hell.
And then the goblin, up at Yuin, punches at you again with its impact fist, with a 17 to hit.
Wynn casually dodges to the side.
Okay. Then it pulls out the screaming blaster and points it at you again. And I'm going to need another con save, please.
Cool. 13?
13. That makes the save. Very good. Oh. So you take half of 10 damage as this horrifying screech rings past you.
People always call me noisy.
It's literally your stage name.
Yeah! I got nothing on this person!
Alright, and that ends everyone's turn.
Alright, so when is he... Is the goblin still about in the same place?
Yeah.
Are you... Can you make sure you are 10 feet away from... About... There?
I'm more than 10...
The very edge of the eaves.
Yeah.
I'm more than 10 feet away from there.
Okay, perfect. Then... I think I can put down a shatter such that it doesn't get Artie, but I might not be able to do that and get the GIF in it too.
That's fair.
The GIF is in the thick of it, so...
If you want to hit me, you can. This way.
I mean, I'd like not to. Okay, I don't think I'll be able to get the GIF, but I can get the, without getting Artie in there. But I can get the plasmoid and the goblin within a 10-foot radius. So I am going to go ahead and cast Shatter at a 4th level.
Hell yeah.
Ooh.
And I am going to place it such that it's kind of centered on the eaves, but it's going to catch both the plasmoid and the goblin within that radius. It's going to just miss the GIF, unfortunately, but I don't want to get Artie mixed up in it.
All right, I'll get those con saves going. So, the goblin crits its con save.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Do you want to use your inspiration to make it reroll?
I do, actually.
Didn't you use your inspiration? Oh, no, you didn't.
I said it wasn't worth it.
Okay, so, you sense that this is about to happen, and how do you reach into an alternate reality and force it to reroll its save?
A goblin up on the roof that I'm able to twist... Jill's a sorcerer in a past life. In another reality, Jill's a sorcerer and she can use sorcerer points to like change to like determine the way spells arc.
Ah, so you kind of wild magic it almost?
No, it's sorcery points to use like twining like to change how spells can attack shit. It's been a while since I've done a sorcerer. Mac, you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes. It's the fate one. It's like twist of fate, changing fate, something like that. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so the goblin now fails its save.
Cool.
And so did the plasmoid.
Yeah.
Both of them have failed their save. So how do you do this? What do you do?
Jill thinks about one of the last times that they were in an alley with a bunch of shitty assholes who tried to just attack them for no good goddamn reason. There was a wolf boy there at the time. and she's going to summon that again. It's a shatter, so it makes a whole bunch of stuff rumble in the alley. Like, you get that sort of, like, that window rattling thunder noise, because, like, you know, call it what you want, but this kind of damage is always going to be thunder theme for Jill.
Yeah, all the windows along the, in the building, along the eaves, just explode inwards.
Yeah. And it's centered on the roof, so, like, you get kind of a little bit of an echo of that on the ground. But, like, I imagine the plasmoid also starts sort of vibrating like jello.
Pretty much, this just ripples through it.
Okay, cool. And that is at fourth level.
This is the first time that Grin will have taken damage.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
That's 68 damage, isn't it? Oh, it's 5d8, yeah.
21, yeah. Very
hell
good.
Yeah.
Let's apply that damage real quick. Wow. You take some chunks.
That's awesome, Jill!
Thanks! Question, Anna.
Yes.
The prayer beads, do they count as spells if I use them on bonus actions? Or, like, essentially what I'm asking is, after casting a spell of my main action, could I use a prayer bead on a bonus?
I will say yes, because they're an item that causes a spell to happen, rather than you casting a spell from your own magic.
Okay, dope. Then I'm going to use one of my prayer beads. I'm going to pull out the prayer bead of egotism off of my wrist, and which casts life transference.
Ooh.
And I'm going to use that to do a spot heal on Artie.
Oh, sweet.
Very nice, very nice. So how we did this one, you crush the bead in your fist, filling your palm with blood, and then you plunge that hand covered in blood into your own chest and pull out a bright burning flame, which you hurl at Artie and restore hit points with.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Just take the heal.
Okay.
Okay, and that is a third level spell for me.
Ooh, very
Woof.
Good.
Yeah. Woof a doodle. Okay,
so
that's
right click that and hit apply healing.
And I'll apply, and that's damage to me.
Yep.
So I take, okay, quick question. That says I take 23 necrotic damage. Azamara resistant to necrotic damage. Does that get halved or not?
You take 48 necrotic damage, which can't be reduced in any way.
Okay, cool. So Artie now gets healed for 46 damage. For 46.
That's not 4d6, that is 46. Four yeah. tens. Yeah, 6 and 40. Woof.
That was a bit.
Jill coughs a little, and there's definitely some blood in her mouth that she kind of wipes off with the back of her hand.
Oh, I definitely don't know how to feel about this.
I don't know. How about you work out your feelings with some violence on this fucking gif?
Okay, but we have to talk about, you know, lifelines and shit.
I don't care, Artie. Just do a hit.
All right. Artie will do many hits on the gif.
The gif? Is it pronounced gif or gif?
It's
there
GIF.
Is eternal debate over which it is.
They don't know where their home world is. They don't even know what it's called.
Gem Jammer is performed by Annie Creighton, Anna Emmeline, Rio Rios, and Mackenzie Weaver, and is edited by Jake Mason. Our cover art is by Canary Witch, who can be found at canarywitch.cawrd.co, and our character design is by Rio Rios, who can be found at rioRios.com. Our opening and closing music is by Saad Akhtar Ali. For bonus content, such as Juliana's private diary, Anna's homebrew stuff, and early releases of our other show, I Will Fight You, our Patreon has it all from only $1 a month at patreon.com/thegemjam. Thank you so very much for listening. Stay safe out there, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, so now that we're all synced, I just like to wish us all a very happy on the United States calendar 6/9 for this date to be recording
nice.
Gem Jammer.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
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 That's so nice.
It's nice. It's a nice time tonight.